Welcome to the spring edition 2022 of the Sid Vale and East Devon Talkie magazine, being read at Dissenters Hall, Sidmouth, on Wednesday the 17th of March 2022. I am Paul Hannan, the editor and a reader for this edition, with readers Hayden Thomas, Gerald Wealdon, Gillian Crooks, and our producer Mike Flynn. Should you have any problems with equipment, please contact Wendy Eagles on 07552 766382. So items in this magazine. In part one, Gerald begins with a feature on the RSPB winter scrub work at Aylesbear. Hayden relates the story of football in Woodbury before World War II. Gillian reports on a Budley family's marathon effort and tells us about Exmouth tidal defence work. And Gerald brings us news of gardening for health. Finally, Gillian brings our first half to a close with an item on the Samaritans.
RSPB Aylesbear Common. RSPB Devon Reserves Administrator Annabel Rowan reports on the final months of winter scrub work. Most areas we are involved in managing are designated sites of Special Scientific Interest, SSSI, and Special Protection Areas, SPA, often having agri-environment schemes in place. The SSSI status requires landowners to manage the land appropriately to conserve special and often nationally scarce features. An agri-environment agreement can help towards management of these key features, including, in our case, grazing scrub and bracken. A new project on Far Beacon Hill began last month. Six large ash trees that border the footpath around the base of the hill were felled. Ash dieback symptoms were identified in the trees during our tree safety assessments. The disease leads to a loss of timber strength and a decline in the tree's structural integrity. The trees were growing in an area identified as high risk due to the proximity of a busy public footpath and bridleway. With the trees removed and the area cleared, work can now begin on creating a pond in the space. The removal of the trees has allowed more light in the area, which will bring floral biodiversity. In the coming weeks, we will have a digger on site to shape the pond and line the base with clay. Additionally, we will have some volunteer work parties hedge laying along the footpath edge. We've also had a busy month out on Aylesbear Common. At the start of the month, we spent 2 days swaling. Swaling is a controlled burn on heathland, which creates pioneer habitat and means there is a varied age structure of heather and gorse across the heath. This variation, or habitat mosaic, creates space for a wider variety of species. Boundaries known as firebreaks are cut around the section that you are intending to burn, and strict safety procedures are followed to prevent the burn spreading. Heather burning is restricted during the growing and breeding season. The usual scrub work has also continued here, and the 19 ponies on site have been busy grazing. The ponies are currently fenced into a woodland area with the aim of this targeted grazing to create wood pasture. The process of scrub clearance on Aylesbear has revealed harvest mouse nests across the common. The harvest mouse, which is a priority species, often nests in grassland tussocks. The Devon Mammal Group is interested in recording harvest mouse presence in Devon, and one of our volunteers has communicated the location of nests found to the group. This has been particularly interesting as some of the nests have been found not in the grass as expected, but at the base of the gorse. This is something the group hasn't seen before. They wouldn't normally look in gorse because all of their previous data and experience points towards nests in grassland. It makes you wonder what else you may miss out just because you don't expect to find it.
Football in Woodbury before World War II. Local historian Jill Selly takes a look at the early days of football in the parish of Woodbury up to 1939. After the war, the club was revived and prospered with the assistance of many old Woodburians. Boys and young men have always kicked a ball around, whether in the garden, street or grassy areas. The school logbook of Woodbury Salterton had a headmaster who encouraged half days for games of football in 1869 and subsequent years. The boys at Woodbury School would have certainly played too, but the logbook in the early days does not record it. In 1918, a clause was added to the village green bylaws forbidding football on the village green on Sundays, Good Friday and Holy Days. A football club existed in Woodbury in the early 20th century, and the results of matches were reported in local newspapers. Unfortunately, unsavoury incidents affecting Woodbury Argyle, as it was called, were also recorded. In 1922, a player from Exeter suffered a double fracture of his hip in the game at Woodbury. A year later, the newspaper reported that a Woodbury club was suspended, and then came a game against Starcross, played at Woodbury, which was described as a most unpleasant affair. There were three penalties, all against Woodbury, and several players were injured, one so badly that he had to leave the field. The referee cautioned the Woodbury players and sent one off, and the unsportsmanlike attitude of a section of the crowd was to be deprecated. 3 years later, in 1926, R. Davy of Woodbury Argyle was suspended for a month for ungentlemanly behaviour. There must have been discontent in the parish with the Argyle team, and possibly it folded, as at a meeting on the 5th of August 1931, it was proposed that an official football club be formed for the parish of Woodbury. Mr. Dawe was elected president of the club, and several men were invited to stand as vice presidents. Mr. Godsland was chosen as chairman. Mr. J. Jarman was elected as secretary treasurer, and a management committee of 9 men was formed. Mr. Chattock, who lived at Oak Hayes House, presented the club with goalposts and nets. Mr. J. Crabb of Venmore Farm provided the football field for £5 a season. It was decided to enter the club into the East Devon League. Rules were drawn up and given to all subscribing members, who were to be residents of the parish, for an annual subscription of 1 shilling and 6 pence. The colours of the club were to be blue shorts and white shirts, with a crest, Woodbury Football Club. An account in the name of the club was opened at Westminster Bank, and purchases were made of 12 jerseys and 2 footballs at Webber's Sports Shop in Exeter High Street, at the cost of £3, 5 shillings and 3 pence. Any member or player guilty of conduct detrimental to the good name of the club was liable to a fine or suspension. At least 2 members of the committee were to attend each away match. A trial game was arranged on the 3rd of September 1931 to select a team for the first match 2 days later, against Newton St. Cyries. A 14-seater charabang was hired to take the teams to the forthcoming matches at the cost of 25 shillings. The first 11 had a very successful season in the East Devon League. They played 20 games, won 18, and lost just 2, scoring 111 goals and conceded only 18. Evidently, there was great support from the public for the club's gate receipts, amounting to just over £14, with £17 raised from dances and about £14 from subscriptions. One player who was chosen to play for Woodbury in 1934 as centre-half was a young man called Haile Royal Bamsey, who was so good he was snapped up by Exeter Football Club, the Grecians, in 1935 and played with them until moving to Barrow Football Club. He made 42 appearances as centre-half for Exeter. The club was short-lived, as the advent of World War II in 1939 meant that many of its members were called up for service, but by the late 1940s, after the war, the club was revived.
A Budley family raised £2,700 in a marathon walk. A 9-strong family team reunited in their hometown of Budley Salterton to honour a wonderful husband, father, grandfather and friend with a marathon challenge in aid of their local hospice charity, Hospice Care. Jill Harris and her family, including the family dogs, took on the hospice's marathon in a month in memory of her husband Keith. For the Harris family, the fundraising event was an opportunity for something positive to come from a personal tragedy. By signing up for the challenge, Jill and her family were able to give something back to the hospice nurses and staff who cared for Keith at his home and at the hospice's specialist care ward in Exeter. Although Hospice Care's marathon in a month event allowed 31 days to complete the challenge, Jill's family completed their miles in just 1 week as a special dedication to Keith. Jill made sure Keith was there every step of the way by planning routes in Budley Salterton and East Devon that held special memories of walking with her husband and walking as a family when their children were young. Team Harris contributed a whopping £2,700 of the £20,000 total money raised during this event, a momentous feat. Exmouth Tidal Defence Test, a great success. The Environment Agency were joined by East Devon District Council and local volunteers to test the procedure for closing the floodgates last month. The £12 million Exmouth Tidal Defence Scheme includes 27 new floodgates, and although these gates will spend most of their lives open, they will be vital when flooding is predicted, to reduce the risk to 1,400 local homes and over 400 businesses. The floodgates can be closed in minutes and create a barrier to protect the town from floodwater. The successful trial demonstrates that the scheme is now fully functional, with only landscaping work to carry out before it is truly complete. Some of the bigger gates along the seafront, such as those that cross roads, require traffic management and will result in temporary road closures when flooding is expected. You can sign up for free coastal flood warnings for Exmouth by calling 0345 988 1188. That is 0345 988 1188.
Gardening for health. Aside from a colourful bloom of your favourite flowers or a hefty harvest from your vegetable plot, there has been plenty of research to show that gardening reaps a shed load of health benefits too. Our gardens are a safe haven where we can enjoy the outdoors without worry. They offer a chance to not only explore nature, but to also craft and cultivate a bit of your own too. We're regularly told that getting in touch with nature has plenty of potential health benefits, but as well as the obvious physical aspect, you might be surprised to see the positive effects on your mental well-being too. Build physical fitness. Working on your garden, especially when you're digging soil, planting, raking and landscaping, will put physical stress on your body and get those muscles working. With such a variety of jobs to complete, gardening can serve as an excellent, well-rounded form of exercise to build your strength, increase your fitness, and burn off those extra calories. For example, just an hour of mowing the lawn will blow approximately 300 calories. As with any form of exercise, proper lifting and bending techniques are key to achieving the positive benefits of physical work and avoiding any injury. Always lift with a straight back and bend at the knees, and be sure to wear appropriate footwear for the job. Improve your mental health. One thing you'll hear from green-fingered friends is that spending time out in the garden makes you feel great. The warmth of the sun on your skin provides a needed dose of vitamin D. The fresh air filled with fragrant scents and the feeling of accomplishment from being your own boss all add together to bring a positive boost to your mental well-being. Gardening is frequently attributed to relieving stress, anxieties, and helping with the effects of depression too. The seasonal aspect of gardening and the way nature is always trying to reclaim your garden back means that many tasks require you to work now. Procrastination isn't an option, and worrying about the past isn't necessary. Work in the garden provides a feeling of control too, and while we can never be completely in control of all aspects of our lives, the more we can control is essential when other parts of our life aren't going to plan. When it all gets too much, gardening is also a brilliant way to take out your frustrations. Digging, chopping, and moving are all perfect tasks for venting any anger from your day. Give it a try. You might just find yourself a new hobby that's great for mind and body.
15 Minutes with Samaritans. We meet the unsung heroes at the Exeter, Mid and East Devon branch of the Samaritans to find out their vital work in saving lives and providing support for those who are struggling. Samaritans is the only charity that is there for anyone struggling to cope, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, explains Mel Whitlock, director of the local Samaritans branch. This has been the case since 1964, when Exeter Samaritans was set up as a national charity, the first Samaritans branch outside of London, with the mission to make change that saves lives. Over 120 volunteers provide the backbone of the Samaritan service in Exeter, responding to over 36,000 contacts coming in via telephone, text, and email. After my marriage came to an end, I suddenly found that I had free time outside of my normal commitments, explained Exeter Samaritan Matt Beckenham. I've always been aware of the fantastic work the Samaritans do. They were my first thought to approach about doing some volunteering. And you don't have to give days of your time to volunteering either. Whilst many volunteers offer lots of their time, the minimum commitment is just 1 3-hour shift per week. Mac goes on to say, and with shifts available round the clock, it's actually very easy and accessible to fit around your normal life. In fact, it's even added to my busy social life, as I've made some great friends too. Donations are imperative, and fundraising events around the year are crucial. Sporting challenges, bake sales, virtual events, and classic quiz nights are all regular ways to get involved and show support. It cost Samaritans £5 to answer a call for help that could save a life, which goes to show that every little really does help. Comedian Sarah Millican even raised over £1,100 with a collection bucket at her show at the Exeter Corn Exchange. Sarah has gone on record as calling Samaritans herself after the breakup of her first marriage. "I expected it to be like when you ring the bank with a bit of music and some options," she said. "Nope, they answer super quietly and they just let you talk." Anyone who feels they have something to offer as a Samaritan can email volunteerrecruitment@exetersamaritans.org. That is volunteerrecruitment@exetersamaritans.org. And remember, if you need to talk to someone in confidence, don't struggle in silence. Contact Samaritans, free from any phone, on 116 123. That is 116 123.
In part two, Paul starts us off with Devon Insight News. And then Hayden brings us a view of healthier alternatives to sugar. Gerald continues with a report on cruising on the River Exe. Gillian takes a look at services at the Honus and Eye Clinic, and Hayden looks forward to the Budleigh Literary Festival and reports on the campaign for British Sign Language. Paul continues with a piece on footballer Raheem Sterling's efforts to promote mindfulness, and Hayden brings our spring edition to a close with a reflective poem from the celebrated American poet Robert Frost, introduced by Gerald. Devon Insight News. On Wednesday the 2nd of March, Hayden Thomas, chair of Sid Vale and East Devon Talking Newspapers, and Paul Hannan, trustee of Devon Insight, gave a joint talk to around 25 members of BEER Women's Institute. It was a lovely evening with a number of questions around living well with sight loss. More talks are planned to Women's Institute groups throughout the county, with the next one to be held at Yarcombe in April. Here at Devon Insight, your local sight loss charity, we are aware that our clients have experienced significant challenges during the pandemic and will continue to face these now that restrictions are lifted. Many will continue to need support to rebuild their confidence in leaving their home and to improve their physical and emotional well-being after isolating at home for so long. The good news is that we will be maintaining our helpline, and you will all be able to access our information, advice and guidance service, emotional well-being service, the equipment bursary fund and the assistive technology partnership. If you are feeling lonely or isolated or just want to speak to someone about how you are feeling, call us at the helpline partnership on 01392 876 666. That is 01392 876 666.
Healthier alternatives to sugar. Sugar's addictive qualities, combined with its prevalence in everyday convenience food, makes it difficult to consume in safe quantities. Thankfully, healthier alternatives are now available, promising lower calorie or more nutritious substitutes to that of our favourite sweetener. To help you navigate the ever-growing world of sugar alternatives, here are the best ones to add to your shopping basket in 2022. Honey. Quite possibly the most popular alternative sweetener on the market, honey is packed full of vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants. However, like table sugar, it's also high in calories and breaks down to glucose and fructose, so unfortunately poses some of the same health risks. Unlike sugar, though, honey has been linked to improved heart health and lower blood pressure. Plus, its soothing, healing qualities make it a great cold remedy. Coconut sugar. Made from coconut palm sap, coconut sugar is another natural sweetener to consider if you're looking to lower your sugar intake. While regular sugar contains no nutrients, coconut sugar requires little processing and so retains small amounts of iron, zinc, calcium, potassium, and antioxidants. Although this makes it a healthier option, coconut sugar still contains the same number of calories as normal sugar, so should be used sparingly. Stevia. The holy grail of sugar alternatives, stevia is a natural sweetener that's extracted from the leaves of a South American shrub. Unbelievably, it contains zero calories while being up to 350 times sweeter than sugar, meaning you need less to satisfy your sugar craving. Although it's non-chemical, stevia extracts do have a noticeable aftertaste. However, it does come in various forms, including powder and liquid, so it's worth shopping around to find the one you like. Sugar alcohols. A type of sweet carbohydrate, sugar alcohols are processed from plant fibres such as birch, berries and corn husks, and contain half the number of calories as sugar. Don't be deceived by the name. Sugar alcohols don't actually contain any ethanol, or sugar for that matter. Unlike regular sugar, they don't cause tooth decay or an increase in blood sugar. Plus, they're lower in fructose too, sugar's most harmful ingredient. Erythritol, xylitol and sorbitol are just a few examples to look out for in the ingredients lists. Commonly found in jams, sweets and chewing gum, they're also used in sweetener brands such as Truvia. And finally, yacon syrup. Agave syrup and maple syrup are hard to top. But the latest syrup to enter the market is that of the yacon kind. Extracted from the South American yacon plant, this sweet, dark, thick syrup contains a special type of sugar molecule that our bodies can't digest. This means it contains just one-third of the calories of regular sugar, making it the latest craze amongst dieters. It's high in fructan content and also linked to any array of health benefits, from helping constipation to lowering blood sugar. What's not to love?
Stuart Line Cruises. Discover beauty, history and amazing wildlife on the Jurassic Coast. Chances are you've already seen these iconic yellow, blue and red boats off the East and South Devon coastline before. And so have your parents, and maybe even your parents' parents. Stuart Line Cruises have been operating along the Jurassic Coast since 1968. Starting off as a family business, it has remained so ever since, now proudly being run by the second and third generation of the Stuart family, with Captain Jake and Mum Philippa at the helm. All year round, their fleet of two traditional but modernised riverboats, the Tudor Rose and the flagship vessel, the Pride of Exmouth, transport enthralled passengers along the calm waters of the River Exe, providing a unique opportunity to see migratory bird life in action at the special site of scientific importance. Avocets, redshanks, curlews and plovers can all be seen, as well as resident seals, who enjoy frolicking while looking for food and a chance to sunbathe. With wildlife and stunning scenery aplenty, these river cruises are just as much a chance to see our local towns and villages from a new perspective too. The regal Powderham Castle looking particularly striking from the water. From November to March, it's the river cruises that fill the bill.
passengers are kept warm and cosy thanks to a complimentary cuppa, the heated inside lower deck, or with blankets which are provided for those who want to sit on the open-air upper deck. The summer season starts from April, and with it comes the opportunity to explore the Jurassic coast and gain a deeper insight into this 185 million year old geological spectacle. Mini 1 hour and full 2 to 3 hour Jurassic Coast cruises make for a fantastic taster to gain your sea legs and learn more about the geology of England's only natural UNESCO World Heritage site. What's more, onboard facilities mean there are no worries about the need for a toilet break. And if you're feeling peckish, there is a fully licensed bar, plus hot and cold snacks available. Got the bug? Why not make a day of it? Day trips run from Exmouth to Torquay, Brixham and Sidmouth once a week. Or why not book a Devon cream tea cruise for someone special to enjoy? Locally sourced cottage cream and strawberry jam. The only way it should be. Jam on top of cream.
A sight for sore eyes, the Honiton Eye Clinic. The NHS recommends that people should get their eyes tested at least once every 2 years, so it is important to find a trustworthy ophthalmic practitioner or optometrist and to receive the same level of personal and professional care as one would expect from a doctor or dentist. With their sights on delivering eye care to their first-class standard, two local and qualified eye health professionals decided to open an independent practice at the former Ideal site in Lacewalk in Honiton in 2018 and renamed it to Honiton Eye Clinic. Running a local community-orientated practice was a natural step for Honiton-born Kate Webb and her co-owner, Duncan Stevens, who both love all the fruits of living in East Devon. In her spare time, Kate is an active member of Beer Sailing Club, while Duncan enjoys finding new walks in the area with his family and dogs. Speaking about the early days, Kate said, "We knew we wanted to have an independent practice that was truly locally owned, offering community eye care from where we grew up. The beauty of being independent is that you are not beholden to mainstream optical suppliers, and you can create more specialist clinics alongside eye examinations, such as glaucoma screening and imaging. This freedom to provide personal care is apparent at all levels at Honiton Eye Clinic, which offers a full range of clinical services, including private and NHS routine eye examinations, contact lens fitting, and emergency appointments. The practice uses the latest state-of-the-art technology, including its OCT scanner that looks beyond the surface of the eye and enables all layers of the retina to be examined. They can also screen for glaucoma, which helps to ease the pressure on hospital clinics. Duncan also works at the Macular Clinic in Yeovil District Hospital. Despite the continued growth and progress, the pandemic had a huge effect on the business. Kate said, "We were unable to conduct eye examinations for a significant period of time. We did, however, set up a remote emergency clinic where we could triage patients over the phone and get them into practice if necessary. We were also very concerned about the detection of eye disease during this time, with suspension of routine eye examination. To counter these hurdles, Kate and Duncan decided to use the time wisely and give the practice a makeover. This led to the sourcing of new brands of niche spectacles from independent manufacturers and installing the 3D OCT scanner in preparation for coming out of lockdown. The ability to change is a key to Honiton Eye Clinic success, something that Kate is keen to build upon. She said, We are always looking at ways to improve the practice and move it forward. We want to take on more joint clinical schemes with the hospital and become even more established within the local community by supporting local events and charities wherever possible. Our patients are warm and friendly, and you get a real sense of community from them. In addition, Duncan is currently working towards an independent prescriber's qualification to allow him to prescribe eye medication to save patients from an extra trip to the doctor. In the meantime, Kate and Duncan continue to enjoy the best of Devon, somewhere they describe as simply the best place to live and work.
Deaf Academy students join campaign for British Sign Language, known as BSL. Students from the Deaf Academy recently walked into Exmouth Town Centre, marching in solidarity with the deaf community, campaigning outside Parliament for legal protection of British Sign Language. A bill to give legal protection to BSL was brought forward through a private member's bill by Labour MP Rosie Cooper. As there were no objections, it meant the bill has been passed and BSL will now have legal protection, a huge step for the deaf community. Students made their own banners and were accompanied by staff on their peaceful protest. Assistant Principal Mark Stock said, "The reason we are here today is because all of our students and staff at the Academy are fighting for equality of BSL with English. We hope the government passes the second bill of BSL and we will see English and BSL as equal languages."
Finding some headspace. England footballer Raheem Sterling, MBE, has partnered with mindfulness app Headspace to raise awareness of the benefits of meditation for stress and anxiety in young people. The NHS recommends mindfulness and meditation to help with stress, anxiety and depression. In a world where depression and anxiety has more than doubled among teenagers during the pandemic, according to a study by Imperial College London, which talked to 5,000 teenagers in 2021, all resources to combat this are welcome. The decline in teenage mental well-being has been fueled, says Imperial College, by disruption to their routines, uncertainty, reduced contact with friends, and a fear of catching the virus. This prompted an 80% increase in their social media and smartphone use, which is thought to have further contributed to their anxiety and is a hard habit to break in a world that still seems unsteady and liable to change at any moment. The partnership with Raheem, who was appointed MBE in the 2021 Birthday Honours for services to racial equality in sport, aims to break down the stigma of mental health, increase education around the benefits of meditation, and provide tools to support a variety of young people across the UK. Working together, Raheem and Headspace will demonstrate how meditation not only supports general mental well-being, but can also have an impact on performance, increasing productivity and focus, and setting those who meditate up to manage life better. Raheem says, "Meditation is a practice I have benefited from greatly as a professional athlete, supporting me in balancing my thinking, focusing, and diminishing external noises, especially during last summer's UEFA Euro 20 tournament. There is no doubt that the practice of meditation has enabled me to perform at the highest level consistently. It's only now that I can see the benefits of such a practice on people of all ages, and I'm really looking forward to the difference we can make together in developing the conversation around mental health, educating on tools and resources that can help people make challenges. COVID-19 has challenged us all, young and old, and it's a great feeling to be in a position to support people through these difficult changes." The partnership will also see the launch of the Headspace for Educators initiative, which will ensure that those in schools have the tools to train, teach, and educate on the importance of mindfulness in the classroom and beyond. While the conversation around mental health in our young people might be growing louder, understanding how to help our sons and daughters navigate the increasing pressures of their world, and even being aware of any stresses they might be feeling, can still be tricky, which is where sports stars and celebrities like Raheem can help. Adversity has been part of Raheem's life experience, both as a young black man and as an athlete. However, developing a deeper understanding of meditation and mindfulness has allowed him to maneuver these challenges while remaining focused on his goals. Raheem is working with Headspace to create tangible change, providing more access and support for mental well-being, in turn helping young people to live more fulfilled, happy and healthy lives. Well, that's all for this edition. My thanks go to all our readers, to our producer Mike Flynn, and to our registrar Wendy Eagles. Thanks also to Archant Publications, Woodbury News, One Magazine, and The Resident Magazine for the use of their copy. So until you hear from us again in our summer edition, we wish you a healthy and happy spring. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
The Road Not Taken. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveller. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other, as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though, as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less travelled by, and that has made all the difference.